Hello and welcome to Studies Through the Bible with Pastor Zach Ebar. We had a little bit of technical difficulties this morning. We've had lots of storms coming in, messing with our internet, but finally we have been able to record and get things set up. We're going to do a short episode today, this week, just kind of discussing an overview of the four Gospels. Now, when I say an overview of the four Gospels, I mean that next week we're going to begin getting a little bit more specifically into each individual book. At this point, I've kind of gone back and forth and debated on whether or not to do all four in one episode for you, if it might be better to bite them one at a time or just two at a time. But we'll see how that goes next week when we get to it. So what we're going to look at today is the overview, the generalization of the four Gospels, what their purpose is, why they were written, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about some specifics with each book, but we're going to save the majority of that for next week. But we want to talk about the four Gospels, some things that are argued about them, some things that are drawn into consideration. Most of that doing with how they came to be and how they were written and why they were written, things of this nature. But we also are going to talk about a very important topic, which is how we harmonize the Gospels, okay? So first of all, what are the four Gospels, okay? I'm assuming that if you are listening to this, you might know a little bit about it, but for the sake of hoping that somebody is listening that doesn't know, the four Gospels, of course, are the books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that start out the New Testament. And the purpose of these four books is to tell us about the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. However, you need to keep in mind that the Gospels are, their sole purpose is to show you the teachings and the lifestyle and the things that Jesus Christ did while he was here on earth. And all reality, the four Gospels only are about 3.5 years of the life of Jesus Christ after he had spent 33.5 years here on this earth. So there's a lot about Jesus and his earlier days, such as being a child, things of that nature, that we're not aware of. We know a little bit. We know about that he was born in Bethlehem. We know that they fled to Egypt running from the Herodian dynasty. We know that at a time when he was 12, 13 years old, he went into the temple and his parents forgot him for 3 days in Jerusalem, and he talked with the Sanhedrin court there in the temple, asking questions and answering questions regarding Scripture. But outside of that, well, there's very little that we know about the childhood of Christ, which is probably a good thing, because there are so many people that try to form Jesus Christ in this way in his mind. Friend, let me summarize for you the early days of Jesus Christ. He was just like a normal kid, normal person. The only thing that was abnormal about him is that he was perfect in his lifestyle. He did not sin. But some of these things that I've seen of people, oh, he was performing miracles when he was a kid, and how did Mary deal with that and keep it from the people that he was the Messiah? And friend, literally in the Gospels, it says, and the first of the miracles of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It was at the wedding in Galilee that Jesus performed his first miracle. That everybody who knew who Jesus Christ was in his early times knew that he had the power and the ability. They knew that he was sinless. But for the most part, to all of the people around Jesus Christ, except for immediate family, he would have come across as a good kid, a good young man, a good guy. They would not have in any way, shape, or form viewed him as any more than just a regular person. And so, as a result of that, we need to, as believers, as people who look at the Gospels, we need to keep in mind that we cannot add to the Gospels, meaning we cannot try to build our own, oh, I could just imagine Jesus is a boy kind of nonsense. But at the same time, we cannot subtract from it, meaning that there are some recountings, tales, parables that are in the Gospels that a lot of people try to say, oh, well, there's no way that that's true because only this one man talks about it. So we need to understand the purpose of the Gospels is to show the ministry, the fulfillment of prophecy, the perfection and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is their job. It's not to paint you a full picture of everything Jesus did while he was here. John says that if he was to write everything Jesus Christ did just in his 3.5 years teaching and preaching, it would take an entire book that's the size of the world to fill all the pages. So we know that there's a lot of things we are not given. What we are given are the things that are important, the things that Jesus Christ stressed. And you need to also understand that unlike in today's culture where preachers and pastors, we always want to give something new, right? Where we're always trying to dig through the Bible and find some new gold or something to astound people with, which is kind of a foolish idea. It's a good thing to dig deep into the Word, but in reality is we're all stealing our content from God. We're not preaching anything that's our own gold nugget. We're preaching something that's been preached for thousands of years. But you have to keep in mind that unlike in our day and time, where if you hear a pastor preach the same message twice, you go, oh, he already preached that once before. I don't know why he's talking about that again. Well, he's sorry about that to remind you because clearly y'all didn't learn the first time if he's bringing it up again. But secondly, Jesus Christ more than likely repeated many of the same sermons that you see in the Gospels. I am sure the what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount was the sermon in the city, sermon in the temple, sermon in the wilderness, sermon by the river, that he would have preached this same message because his messages were all straightforward, blunt, and they covered all of the grand scope of what you and I need to know. There are some things that we argue about and consider that are not relevant to Christianity and they're not important to the overall grand scheme of things, which is going out, witnessing, preaching, and testifying to the lost about Jesus Christ and what he did, and then discipling each other on how we should live. And so with that attitude, with that mindset, you need to keep in mind that that is the job, the goal of the four Gospels. It's not to give you a biography. It is to give you what you need to be a follower of Christ, to know who he was and what he did. So with that said, all of the Gospels cover only the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. Some say 3 is technically 3.5, okay? And so the attention is focused on Jesus as Christ, as God, his teachings, what he came to do, what he came to accomplish. That is the goal of these books. Now, we need to talk about the fact that these Gospels are broken down in a very peculiar and separate way. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the Synoptic Gospels, okay? And what that big fancy word synoptic means is that they view the life of Jesus from a common perspective, okay? And that common perspective is that they are looking at Jesus as the Christ, okay? How he fulfilled it, what he came to fulfill. Matthew is written to the Hebrews. He's trying to focus on Jesus Christ in light of being the Hebrew Messiah. Okay, his Davidic line, you know, his bloodline, and how yes, he was the heir, and how he fulfilled this prophecy and this prophecy and this prophecy and this prophecy. Okay. He very much wants to focus heavily on proving to the Hebrews that Jesus Christ is in fact the Messiah, okay? Then, while it's a slightly different perspective, it has the same goal as Matthew. Mark is written to the Romans to show the Romans how Jesus Christ was, yes, indeed the Messiah. And not just how he's the Hebrew Messiah, but he's the Messiah for the world, okay? So same perspective, proving the messianic relationship of Jesus Christ, the messianic call of Jesus Christ, but to a different audience. Okay? Then the book of Luke kind of is this. Luke is a man who goes and he digs and digs and digs and digs and digs and digs and digs. And he has some peculiarities that you don't find in Matthew and Mark that he writes about. But his whole goal is showing Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, but his audience is the Greeks. So they're all written with a common goal. Jesus Christ is Messiah. These are his teachings. These are his signs. These are his healings and baptisms and who was saved and who wasn't saved. This is his death, burial, resurrection. They all come at it with the same concept, proving who the Messiah is, but speaking to different audiences. Okay? Now, despite the fact that there's a lot of similarities in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are some things that are different, and there are some arrangements of events that are different, okay? Now, that does not mean that that disproves the validity of the Bible. No. There's very likely that they're recording similar events that are not the same event. That's very likely also that they are just recording these events not in any true fashion of numerical, you know, of being in a chronological, sorry, not numerical, order. The goal here is to get across who Jesus was, what he did, and how the end of his life came to be, and how he rose again, okay? And so, all of them, though, emphasize Jesus Christ as Messiah. Now, the Gospel of John is completely different than the Synoptic Gospels. It tells a whole lot more about Jesus' early ministry in Judea. John's main goal is to focus on Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Okay? He wants to focus on the theological reflection on the meaning of Jesus' life and death. He wants to talk about how Jesus as an individual comes as our divine Savior, our divine Messiah. He wants to focus on Jesus Christ as your personal God, okay? And his book is written to the Greek world, okay? So when we're looking at this, I'm going to kind of give you, I've got a little overview written here. So Matthew, our audience is the Jews. The portrait of Jesus is the Messiah, and he is the king who fulfills the Old Testament prophecy and expectations, okay? That is the big thing about Matthew's book, and the key word, the key thing he focuses on is fulfillment, okay? Talking about he fulfilled this prophecy and this prophecy and this prophecy and this prophecy. Then Mark, as I told you, is written to the Romans. And it focuses on Jesus as the authoritative Son of God, meaning that he is over all people. He's not just the God of the Jews. He is the God of the whole entire world, okay? And his key word, his focus, is calling for immediate change. Immediately, immediately, immediately. That Jesus, the moment he performed something, or he did something, or he spoke, immediately this occurred, okay? Then Luke is written to, as I told you, the Greeks. More specifically, would be Hellenists, which could be Greeks, Romans, or even Hellenistic Jews, okay? The idea, though, is that it's written to Greek culture, written to people who are very heavily involved in the Gentile world, no matter their cultural background. And his focus is Jesus is the perfect Son of Man who came to save and minister to all people. Okay? So, we have Matthew, I'm going to prove to you Jews he's your Messiah. Mark, I'm going to prove to you Romans that he's your Messiah because of his authority. For the Hellenist, I'm going to prove to you that Jesus is the Messiah because of his perfect sinless life and what he did and how he spread the gospel through. And not only that, but also we see the power of the Holy Spirit and what he does as well. And his main focus is that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, meaning he paid the price for all people. He's still painting the same picture, different audience. But John, his is written to the Greek world, meaning the entire world, because it's about Jesus is the fully divine Son of God in whom we should believe to receive eternal life. Meaning, yes, he is the God of the Jews, the God of the Romans, the God of the Greeks. He's the Savior of all of them. But even more than just that, he is to the individual a personal Savior. He reflects on the nature of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world on a more intimate and personal level. That's where we see, I am the Great Shepherd. I am the door. I am the light of the world. Where there's this more intimate discussion about just who Jesus Christ is and what his relationship is to saved and lost people alike. And his key word, his entire purpose is all about believe, believe, believe. He wants to stress the importance of he is not just the Messiah. You also need to believe in him because he is your personal Savior. Okay? Now, there is this very weird discussion that goes on in the scholarly world of the Bible. Okay? And what it is called is the Synoptic Gospel Source Theories. There are a lot of people who believe that Matthew, Mark, and Luke were all written using earlier gospel sources, earlier gospel writings, okay? Oddly enough, these are referred to as Q, M, M, K, Q, and L, okay? Q meaning quell, which is the German word for source. To be completely honest with you, it's absolute foolishness. It is like chasing yourself around. It's absolutely as foolish as the idea of philosophy, which if you want to know what philosophy is without taking a class, it's a blind man in a pitch black room looking for a black cat, okay? It's completely, it's just nonsense. It's pointless. It's useless. It'll never accomplish anything. And not only that, but this idea of an earlier source would take away from the fact that the Bible says that the Bible was written by inspiration of God through men, meaning that God moved men to write what they wrote, okay? So, if you meet somebody that wants to talk about the synoptic source theories, you just need to drink a glass of water, let them talk, and go, huh, very interesting, and move on with life, because there's no way to prove it, and it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't line up with what God says about his revelation to the world in the Bible. Matthew wrote Matthew from Matthew's perspective. Mark wrote Mark from his perspective. Luke wrote Luke from his perspective and from what he found and investigated and dug out through getting testimonies from other people and eyewitness accounts, because as you know, Luke was not one of the apostles, okay? And I hate to burst bubbles, but they're also different because their audiences are different. The way I preach to my congregation of believers and what topics that I hit hard, and when I say topics, I mean as I'm going through a book of the Bible, if we come to something that I know is an issue in the church, I'm going to preach that very, very differently than if I was at visiting another church. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Not saying that I'm not going to preach the doctrine. I'm going to preach the truth at both. But I'm going to use different illustrations, I'm going to use different words, I'm going to use a different approach to explaining that same doctrinal truth to my personal congregation than I would to one I'm visiting or doing a revival at. Why? Because they're two totally different groups of people. With mine, I can get more personal with them. I don't know those visiting people. I don't know those people I'm going to do a revival for. So it's not going to have the same word usage, the same approach. I'm probably not even going to use the same illustrations, because when I preach to my congregation, I use illustrations that are relevant to the lives of my members. And when I say relevant, I mean if I know that Brother So-and-so does this for a living, and that really lines up and paints a good allegory or good metaphor for what we're going to be talking about today, I'll look at him and go, "Now, brother, don't you do X, Y, Z," and let him confirm it, and I'll walk him through it, and that illustration not only drives home for him, but it's personal for the rest of the congregation because they know him. So this idea that there are this secret source that no longer exists, that nobody knew about, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke pulled from to write it, is absolute hogwash. Makes no sense whatsoever. These men were inspired by God, and they wrote what God moved them to write. Just because they may have an event here that the other one doesn't have, or they may have removed an event that the other had, does not mean that they were pulling from another source or that they didn't know what they're talking about. It means that for the audience they were writing to, that was not necessary. That was not going to add to the conversation. It was going to subtract from the conversation. If I'm going to talk to you about something that's going to confuse you, when I'm trying to get you to understand it, and I know that if I just pull that away, and I put in a different example instead that's not going to confuse you, why in the world would I give you the one that confuses you? Do you see what I'm saying? So, you can take that and flush it down the toilet. If you buy any book about the Gospels, they're going to talk about this, and they're going to go into all of this. And friends, hire critics and scholars and people who think they know the Bible better than anyone else. If that sounds familiar to you, Sanhedrin court, Pharisees, Sadducees, when you're dealing with people of that nature, they're not looking at the Bible because they're followers of Christ and they actually genuinely care about the Word of God. They're looking at the Bible as an opportunity to make a name for themselves. So, that was my pet peeve on why the Synoptic Gospels are all written by their own authors under inspiration of God. There is no secret source that none of us know about with the label Q out there in the world. But I also wanted you to know that that existed at the same time. So let's talk about something much better, okay? Something that I love the most about the Gospels. And in all honesty, if I, as a pastor, would give you a word of advice, it would be that if you read the Gospels, okay, if you're one of these people that you read the Bible in a year, something like that, nothing wrong with that, by the way. I will tell you that you can read the Bible in a year, but you need to pick another day in the week to actually study the Bible and not just read it. But if you're somebody who reads the Bible in a year, I want you to change something for me, okay? I don't want you to read the four Gospels separately. I want you to read a harmonizing of them. And what that means is that we have taken the four Gospels, and through sitting down for many long hours, and we had to do this when I was in seminary, and oh my goodness, harmonizing the Gospels, that literally took all semester. Okay? You sit down and you go verse by verse by verse by verse by verse, and you chronologically put together the life of Jesus Christ from the earliest event that's recorded in his life to the very last one. Okay? That is what's called the harmony of the Gospels. It is putting all the story together, painting the full picture together. And it is a very precise, historically, chronologically put together gospel of everything that is recorded for us. Now, there are some people that argue about certain events and that there's some uncertainties here. Some of those mainly have to do with what day was Jesus crucified on, okay? And we're going to talk about that when we start getting into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because there's a lot about that conversation that we as Americans, we as people who work on the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church calendar, do not understand about the Hebrew calendar, and why this is such a huge argument makes absolutely no sense, because it's very simple when you look at the culture of the matter. However, there's things like that that people argue about of, well, no, this goes here, or no, that goes here. Well, actually, it would have been this day instead of this day. And so there's some arguments there. But I'm going to tell you right now, in the most simplistic fashion, the harmony of the Gospels is not only possible, it's not only simple, and it's not only common sense. It is something that you can get on, you can go to Google right now and pull up a harmony of the Gospels, and I promise you, it's going to match the one in any book I own. It's going to match the one I did in seminary. And we're still going to be arguing about it because we have nothing better to do with our lives, apparently, than to argue about things that do not matter. Okay? But I want you to look at a harmony of the Gospels. And the reason for this is because you as a human being, you think chronologically. Okay? Meaning that when you're reading a book, you expect the flow of that book to be start, middle, finish. The Bible is not set up that way. Okay? When you look at the Old Testament, you're chronological for Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges. Like, you're chronological for all of that, okay? But when we hit the book of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, all of that goes downhill. Ecclesiastes, the chronology of the Bible goes poof out the window, okay? Because we're chronological all the way up until 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and then things change. We get into 1 and 2 Kings, but in the middle of 1 and 2 Kings, we can also break down parts of 1 and 2 Chronicles, and there's actually for a lot of 1 Chronicles that comes before Kings, and there's a lot of things that start to happen because of the fact that all of these books, especially getting into major and minor prophets, all of these books are written within 5 and 6 years of each other. As we've talked about with the Old Testament already, there's many times that I told you these minor prophets overlap each other. There's a lot of times that while Ezekiel and Elijah and Elisha are out and about doing their thing, there's, you know, Amos and Habakkuk and all these that are doing their thing. Like, there's a lot of overlap that begins to happen by the time we get to the end of 2 Samuel. And so because of that, obviously, I cannot give a harmonization of the Old Testament. That would be, well, I could. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I could do that. But I'm afraid that might still be more of an elephant than any one man could chew. So we're going to kind of, when I'm with my congregation right now, we just started 1 Kings. And so we're going to go 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to kind of back up and insert and back up and insert and back up and insert a little bit as we're going. But that would be a little bit more than they could chew just because of how much overlap goes on. There's parts of Chronicles that are actually in 2 Samuel, and it gets into a big mess very quickly. But with the Gospels, because your mind goes beginning, middle, end, the four Gospels of Jesus Christ harmonize very well. It's not thick. It's not hard to interpret. And it will open your eyes to a lot of things that went on that you were like, whoa, I did not realize that before. Well, I knew that this parable was talked about in three other places in the Bible, but I didn't understand that there was this part, and this part that all harmonized together and give a more complete picture of what happened than what I originally thought happened. Look up and get a harmony of the Gospels for your Bible reading if you're reading in a year. And do that when you get to the Gospels. It will help you to understand the picture better. It'll help you to understand why Jesus said some of the things he said when he did, because there were other events that were going on as well that particular author did not focus on for his gospel, okay? And a harmony of the gospels, actually, what's funny, is would start out with the book of Luke, and then we move into talking about a lot of the... I lost my place completely. It would start out with the book of Luke, and then we would see some of the things about the book of John, where we talk about the pre-fleshly state of Christ, and then we'd actually get into the genealogy of Christ again in Matthew and in Luke. And you can really, you just really get a much better idea, because Matthew, of course, is proving that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the Jews. So Matthew focuses on Jesus strictly from a paternal aspect, meaning from Jesus Christ's father's side of the family, proving that he is of the line of David through Joseph, okay? But Luke, he goes through how Jesus Christ is of the line of David through Mary, something that's not very talked about very much at all. Get yourself a harmony of the Gospels to do those four Gospel readings when you get to that point. If you're reading the Bible in a year, I think now is about the time that typically you would start the four Gospels. I may be wrong on my timetable, but I'm pretty sure that's the case, because you only have about September, October, November, December. Yeah, you only got about a quarter of a year left. So you should be around the four Gospels, if not a little bit past it by this point. That is an overview of the four Gospels. We are going to talk about them in detail, and I think we're going to just do it Synoptic Gospels and then John next week. That's probably what we'll do. Y'all cool with that? And so we are going to talk about them very in-depth. We're going to go over a lot of important things that go on, a lot of why Jesus did what he did. We're going to talk very heavily about the resurrection and the events of what is recalled the Holy Week. We are going to talk very heavily about the authority of Jesus Christ. We're not going to get into the books themselves, but we're going to talk very heavily about the themes, their purpose, why these men wrote what they wrote, and why they didn't write some of the things that they didn't write. We're going to talk about the 12 apostles. We're going to talk about the I am statements a little bit. We're going to get into a lot of things. So that's probably going to be about the next 2 to 3 weeks, give or take, because I'm looking through my notes here and I'm going, actually Matthew might take up all of next week. So just be prepared for that. But for this one, remember, the four Gospels, their purpose is to show who Jesus Christ is. The Synoptic Gospels perspective is proving Jesus Christ is the Messiah, for Matthew to the Jews, for Mark to the Romans, and for Luke to the Hellenists, or just thank Greeks, okay? That'll kind of help you out a little bit more than getting that specific to Hellenists, okay? And then remember that John, his book, his audience is to the world, but it's about how Jesus is, what his relationship is with us as a personal Savior, okay? A lot about what he did and why we should believe in him and what the purpose was of him coming. And then, of course, if you're reading the Bible in a year, and even if you're not, either sit down and get you a chart that does the harmony of the Gospels, let me see here real quick. There we go. Sorry about that. We had a small glitch. I actually have a book that I can recommend for you that is called A Harmony of the Gospels, and it's by a man, an author by the name of Pentecost. I would look at Pentecost, Pentecost. And he does a very good job. It's a very big book, but the reason it's such a big book is because he lays out the context, and then here are the Bible verses and how they would fit together, and he labels each individual verse and harmonizes those Gospels very beautifully. So, of course, this week, look over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, get familiar with them, get the idea of what's going on, look at some of those peculiar events, go look at some of the parables, go look at the I Am statements in the book of John. If you have the time this week, you can get you a chart that harmonizes the Gospels online, or you can get a book, the book that I'm talking about, whatever you want to do. But take the time this week to sit down, look over these four Gospels, and get very acquainted with them as we start the next 2 to 3 weeks going through just the facts. So it's just kind of funny about it. It's going to be that long. That just the facts, the authorship, the background, the intent, the theme, you know, getting a little bit more specifics involved with each book, not just this overview of all of them as a whole. But make sure to try to get acquainted with them this week. Spend some time reading them. And of course, as always, I'm Pastor Zach Ebarb, and this has been Studies Through the Bible. Get out of here and go study.